Hey out there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 505. This is the Not a Dinghy edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. Every once in a while, we like to collect terms that somehow relate to the number of the show that we did. So, you know, for instance, you know, 357 was the Magnum edition here. We had a lot of other fun numbers that we've played with. 404 doesn't actually exist as a show. So there's some interesting ones that we've come up with, but I was searching around because 505 sounded familiar. It sounded like I should know it, but apparently I shouldn't, because the first thing that comes up with if you search for 505 is some kind of crazy sailing race that involves sport dinghies. So we're Caffeination 505, and we're not a dinghy, but, you know, it takes a long time to get anywhere in a rowboat. I am Paul.
This is Steve.
And you're watching, we're listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are live over at live.caffeination.com, as we're attempting to be every Wednesday night at roughly 9:30 Eastern time, whatever daylight standard we happen to be in. If you were looking for this podcast in general, you can find it listed lovingly nestled along with all of its friends over at www.caffeination.com. That is caffeination.com, in case you couldn't figure that out. We are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find all the other member shows over at techpodcasts.com. We have a lot of really good friends over there. Specifically, there's two shows that you absolutely need to listen to. One is Jeffrey Powers of the Geekazine Podcast, and the other one is Norbert Davis for the Totally Cool Tech Podcast. They're both wonderful friends of the show, and we've been working with them in the network for almost, I think I've been in the network 5 years, so it's a nice long time that we've been working out, and it's wonderful shows, both of them, so you should head on over there and watch both of those. We have a ton of interesting content here today. We're going to try and keep it on the light and fun side. I think we have some rather sketchy stories to go over.
Yeah, we're definitely testing limits here.
Basically, the Caffeination is part of the Tech Podcast Network, which is what we said before. We're a family-friendly show. We're going to continue to be a family-friendly show. However, sometimes families have discussions in different rooms. I think that's the easiest way to describe it. We're going to play the morning radio route, and we're going to walk right along the fine line of the fun stories that we have here. So, yeah, we're going to be working blue in real life, but on the show, we're still going to be nice and G-rated, shall we say.
We'll try.
Hey, we can fix everything in post, but the video, that's a whole different story. We could do all kinds of gestures that ain't going to show up on the audio. So...
Yeah.
All right. We have a lot of fun stuff. We have Geeky this week, which we're going to get to in a minute. We have things about Sony, Facebook, drones, the Grateful Dead, candy, and genetically modified fish. I think we've pretty much run the gamut of absolute weird topics that you could possibly consider here on the show, so we're just going to dig right on in. If you are looking for, or if you'd like to comment, feedback, suggestion, anything else, you can fire it off to caffeination@gmail.com, or if it's a specific comment for either Steve or myself, you can do it to paul@caffeination.com. Come on, tell her.
All right. Steve@caffeination.com.
See, I told Steve. He still hasn't responded. I think it's kind of like a silent majority thing here. That we would be perfect for doing a Halloween show with Penn and Teller, because me being the more gregarious of the two, and I end up taking up most of the conversation, pretty much all he would have to nod and do some pantomime. I think it would be absolutely hilarious. But he hasn't commented yet, and I'm not sure.
It's a thought.
I think we could do it. Teller's from Philly.
He is.
And, you know, hey, I could be carny trash, as Penn Jillette likes to say that he is, but I think it'd be kind of fun. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Yep, genetically modified fish. Word to the wise, to respond to somebody who's in the chat room. Yeah,
GIF.
True story. You'll see it all and hear it all here on the Caffeination. All right, so what'd you do geeky this week there, Steve?
I wasted more time on Dead Island, which I have yet to finish, which is starting to irritate me.
So what do you mean you wasted more time?
I thought I'd be done by now, but no, I'm only halfway through after, I think after today I played just over 24 hours.
Okay. I haven't checked. I don't know if in Assassin's Creed there's a way to actually check to see how long you've been playing, but I know I've been playing around and kind of messing around for an hour or two here and there, and I'm around 60% done. Because I haven't been able to dedicate the time to it, but you've been dedicating some time.
Yeah, a lot of time, and it's dragging.
So anything you'd like to tell our fine listeners about the game that they should be aware of beforehand?
It's a fun game. Some of the quests are fun, but it drags on, you know. Enough is enough. But you know what? It's getting more and more challenging, which I am enjoying.
Okay.
So
we have a lot of fun things that are coming down the pike in the realm of games. In fact, we were just sent one today. We were sent this by 2K Sports, NBA 2K12. We were actually authorized to also do a giveaway of this. So Steve's going to be reviewing this game. We both played NBA 2K11.
Right.
And despite the fact that neither of us is a really big basketball fan, I got to say, I think we're both pretty enthused about the game.
It tends to get interesting.
It was really challenging.
Yeah.
So we're going to see what they did with NBA 2K12. We're going to be able to showcase that on a show coming up. And geeky this week for me is beginning to read two books. The first one is what I won at PodCamp Philly. It's called We Are All Weird, The Myth of Mass and the End of Compliance by Seth Godin. Unbelievable author. You need to follow his blog. But specifically, I love the actual image that they have on the front. And, you know, hey, I'm a perfect person to win the We Are All Weird book. And then the second book that I'm incredibly enthused about, you know, going through, I'm going to write a nice review up, is CC Chapman and Anne Handley doing Content Rules. Unbelievable book for social media and just how to kind of get enthused about the stuff that you're actually doing online.
Right.
And how to continue to follow through and make sure everything's fresh content. So those are things that you're going to see here on the Caffeination coming down the pike, but we wanted to just give you a bit of a heads up.
Nora wants to know how's your vertical leap.
How's my vertical leap? Are you talking about the Bill Gates image where he actually went over the chair that's been very popular on Google Plus right now? For those of you who are unaware, there's a viral video, which is weird because I think it was filmed in like 1994. But it was Bill Gates says that he can actually jump over an office chair standing. And he actually kind of can. But like only Bill Gates can, he makes it look awkward. And it's like, I really like the dude in certain aspects. Like, I respect his genius when it comes to technology and a couple other things. But there's just no time when you ever look at him and say, man, that guy is, like, put together. He knows what's going on. He might be the brightest dude in the room, but, man, he's sure in the room. But, I mean, if you had that many millions of dollars, I'm pretty sure you could crush us with our wallet. And, you know what, it might be fun to actually have that happen.
Yeah.
But I'm also pretty sure that Norbert's actually checking out the basketball reference for vertical leap. That would make a little bit more sense. But my vertical leap, not too bad. I think I can touch the rim on a 9-foot basket, but I can't dunk or anything like that. I can touch the backboard, no problem. But, Steve doesn't have a chance on that.
Oh, I can touch the rim. I just need to get on your shoulders.
Be like Wilt the Stilt.
That's right.
Yeah, fine Philly boy making it good. Look, there's two white boys running down the court. All right, so that's the geeky this week was me getting the stuff ready to review. And I also, there's an article that we're going to talk about in a little bit about Ubuntu and Google TV. We're going to actually try and do a video of Google TV to kind of give people a little bit of an understanding. This is a little bit down the road. Steve and I are going to hopefully work together and get a video out on what the Google TV experience is and where it's good, where it falls apart, and where we're hoping that they kind of go for it in the future.
Right.
First story that we got up today, Steve?
Yeah, well, of course it would be considered old news that, again, Sony has been hacked. Not as bad as, you know, it has been. This is probably the lightest it's ever been. But apparently hackers have decided to try to gain access to people's accounts by just randomizing different username and passwords. So to try to, you know, stop it from happening, Sony reset 93,000 accounts. So, I mean,
it's a bad day when they reset 93,000 accounts and it doesn't really make news.
Yeah.
Because I didn't see anything on the mainstream media or anything like that. I saw it on a couple gamer blogs and that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's good news that they, you know, actually caught it before it went big.
Well, they don't know if it went big. They don't know if anybody actually gained access or anything. They're being kind of mum about the whole thing. You got to wonder exactly who did they tick off in the past couple years, I guess. Well, year. That really has it out for their system. Is it like a disgruntled former worker or something like this?
Because,
I mean, Anonymous has bigger things. They're occupying all different kinds of streets. So the weird thing, oh, got it, a small aside, with the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy all the other stuff, I'm going to leave all opinions aside. The funniest thing that I saw was that Occupy Philly actually has a tech support tent. There's a tent set up outside of City Hall down in Philadelphia that has a big banner across it that says tech support. There are two Wi-Fi networks that you can use if you're going to be a dirty hippie down at Center City.
That is hilarious.
And the one is open and the one is secure. Political opinions aside, I think that is hilarious.
Yeah,
and I also think it's a special kind of awesome. So, yeah, you know, my hat's off to the people who are actually somehow making that work.
That's impressive, though.
Yeah, it is. So, all right, moving on. Speaking of geeky and getting down to science, we have a... here's the Google TV story from the front to the back. I have a server in the basement. I have a media server in the basement that's running Ubuntu. It's also running the website for one of my sites. And so it's like, it's up and running. It's been migrated to the new hardware and everything. All this fun little geek speak that nobody really cares about. But it also has all of our movies, all the, you know, the other stuff that I took off. These are all legal copies of things. They're backups. And, you know, it has all of my iTunes music library. That's shared across the entire network. And I didn't want to go out and buy any of the hardware that, you know, like the Apple TV or anything like that, all existed within the same hierarchy.
Right.
So I really lucked out, and I got a developer box from Google TV. So it's the Logitech Review, and we've been using it now for almost a year, and I love it. I know Steve likes it, too. You know, it's like when you're over here, it's like you pop up Netflix, you search through it. I'm waiting for the Amazon video and the Hulu to actually show up on there. But we're waiting for the Android Marketplace to actually go up, too, because, I mean, that's really what we kind of need, is because it's lacking, you know, a lot of the really fun things that are out there.
Right.
Well, one of the biggest problems is that I couldn't play movies from the Ubuntu server in the basement on my Google TV. I could do it through the Windows PC, but I don't want to have five computers running in the house at all times. Well, you know, normally. I mean, if I'm going to work and I need to have something that's on my home machine, yeah, I'll leave it on. I can remote in. I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff that you can do. And it's really crazy every once in a while I can get a real meta experience, and I've actually been remoted into one machine, remoted into another machine from that. So technically I'm typing across like four time zones or something. It's really kind of blows your mind when you think about it. And when I'm really lazy in work, I actually remote desktop into the machine that's sitting behind me. And the students are like, so where's that machine? And I point back there, and they go, so where's that machine? And they're pointing to a different desktop. It's like, oh, well, that one's across campus. They're like, but you couldn't turn around to just type on the keyboard sitting 2 feet away from you? That's right. It's all about convenience. So,
my mind is blown.
All right. Here's the long and the short of this fun little story. If you are a geek who's really into Ubuntu and you're wondering how you can set up Ubuntu as a media streaming server without paying some kind of hefty license fee or anything else, because there's a lot of software out there, and I don't begrudge people the ability to make money with their software, but I don't have money to spread around really right now, so I like free. And there's apparently a free streaming software that's out there called Mini DLNA. So I have all the instructions. I actually reworked a bunch of instructions from Ben Hedrington's wonderful guide that he has out there. So I gave you all the commands. So if you have a Ubuntu server, you can set it up to stream media to any of the other boxes in your house that actually stream. So even Steve over here could probably put it together.
Probably.
And I don't know if he can spell Ubuntu at this point.
Nah. give me a week. I'll spell it later.
Okay. He'll be all right. It's impressive to see a desktop on the 36-inch TV down here, but it's even more impressive to be able to watch Star Wars and all the other kinds of fun movies upstairs.
Yeah.
So, right now, as a small geeky aside, we're watching Howl's Moving Castle by Miyazaki, my son and I. So, it's like, you know, every night we go down there, we watch just a little bit. So, he's kind of enthused about that, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
All right, next story we got for you here. Speaking of movies and speaking of the wonderful world of that.
Yeah, here's Netflix, and they have finally decided, after hearing a bunch of, you know, guff.
Flack? Guff? Yeah. Oh, we're going guff.
We're going guff.
Guff. Guff's is a good word. Bringing guff back.
Yes, I am.
Waiting for Guffman? Sorry.
But, yeah, they've decided to keep everything the way it was. They decided, I think it was Tuesday, I got the email along with every other Netflix subscriber that they explained that they've decided to keep things the way they were. They felt that changing to make two different websites would have been difficult, which was something that probably, I think, 99% of people said.
Yeah, I don't understand the people who comment. Like, I think they actually locked the Facebook comments on that one blog post where he put it out, where it started off as an apology, and then he went back and went on to tell people how wrong they were about everything. They locked it at 59,000 people commenting on it. I think that's kind of a groundswell of support for anything other than what he put out there.
Yeah.
Now here's the fun thing. It's kind of like a wag the dog situation, because, all right, so everybody was all irritated that they were going to have to do a Quickster. They registered the domain. They didn't even register the Twitter account. They didn't have anything else for it. They made no moves to actually separate the DVD service. Now nobody's complaining about the price hike.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's like kind of like when people start raising the gas prices, and they raise it all the way up to like $3.99 or something like that. And then people start to complain. Well, it was like, you know, $3.05 or something beforehand, so they'll drop it down to $3.20 and everybody's really happy, but they're still higher than they were before now, aren't they? So that's exactly what's kind of going on with Netflix. They're still charging you through the nose. It's just now they're going to continue to do it in a way that actually makes sense. Yeah. Let's hope that they continue to keep the actual streaming library alive, because they're losing content left and right.
I mean, yeah.
Still. So who knows if it's actually going to remain a viable option for stuff to watch. I love their selection of anime, and I know you're not really into anime.
Not really much.
But, I mean, that's pretty much the only thing that they have a large catalog of right now.
Right.
So it's like you go and you search through for something that's like animation or something like that. You're either going to get the Justice League or anime. So, I mean, the pickings are slim, and I don't mean riding a rocket down on Dr. Strangelove. But, you know, hey, we're throwing references fast and loose around.
I'm telling you.
It's all right. Let's go.
Must be the dinghy.
It's the dinghy. Michael rowed that boat ashore.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, I think they're sail dinghies. I don't even know if that's actually an official word, but they look kind of like the assault rafts that you see, the Navy SEALs use in the commercials.
Yeah.
But they have like a giant sail up there, and they're apparently two-man dinghies. So this here is a two-man dinghy.
I like that.
I like it too. facing strong headwinds to actually get something done tonight. All right, what else do we got here? The next thing we got here for you here, we've talked about this before, but Brooklyn has this wonderful establishment called the Barcade. In the Barcade, they have a bar and an arcade. We talked about that on a little while ago. And there's also another place that's down in Australia that I think you talked about called the Mana Bar.
The Mana Bar, yeah.
These are geek establishments that we've talked about previously, and I think I've mentioned Quark's Bar that used to be in Las Vegas, but they closed it down. So, well, apparently Philadelphia has been graced with its very own Barcade, deep in the heart of Fishtown, which used to not be a good place to be. Now it's getting to be kind of an interesting place to kind of hang out, so it's kind of fun to see how that's actually being revitalized. But they have 80s retro video games and sweet, sweet libations. So... Mm. As somebody who enjoys a good draft of beer now and then, and then again. So, you know, I think we might have to do a road trip down there.
Yeah.
They opened 2 days ago, October 10th. And my wife is telling me that right before PodCamp Philly, she actually sent me this story and I remembered it. But I never actually acted on actually putting any information out about it. So that's good on my part. But now that it's open, anybody who's in Philadelphia can head on by. So I thought that was pretty cool. And like, I got to say, like, there's a lot of people in work who've already been. It's like 2 days. And, you know, somehow they've managed to go already. But, you know, life without kids, I'm telling you. You could have gone.
I could have.
But, I mean, yeah.
There's no fun going alone.
That's true. That's true. So, much like the Death Star constructed in secret, the new Philly Barcade is open. So, you can head on over, and I believe the arcade is barcadephiladelphia.com. That's the website. So, you can go over there and check it out. Should be kind of interesting. All right. Now, for my favorite story of the night. The story is called Blackboards in Porn. And, it's a rather interesting story. So, here's how it breaks down. There's a certain genre, shall we say, a subgenre, if you will, within the adult film industry where the principals involved are either principals, teachers, faculty, staff, students, some sort of mix of all of those characters. And things occur. So beyond all that, There apparently are also blackboards in these classrooms that the events take place in. And there's a lot of jokes about, you know, like, I didn't even realize they were in a classroom. So, but there's all these fun jokes out there. But there's stuff written on them. And so there now exists a website called blackboardsinporn.blogspot.com that actually analyzes the text that's on them and gives you a rundown on what it is. Apparently, math is a very common subject.
It is.
And people send in screenshots, and they actually write down all of what it is. So there's actually a fairly innocuous image on the screen that we're seeing right now. And it doesn't seem to be... like this, I mean, this is so bland of a screenshot that it actually looks like it could just be, you know, a stock photo of something. I mean, the people are attractive. It could be a stock photo of a classroom with, like, adult education or something. Really adult education.
Yeah. So. Really adult.
Well, I mean, no, this isn't as provocative as some of the other shots that are out there.
Very true.
This is relatively tame. So, I mean, none of them are considered not safe for work either. I mean, some of them are a little on the edge. I mean, some of the shots that they have, like, they're just the screen grabs. So... what they did is they actually pulled everything down and they transcribed the formula that was on the blackboard and said, well, it's roughly an eighth grade education. They're actually working on a little bit of trigonometry. And then the absolute best part about it, well, first of all, most of the equations are actually right, which it blows my mind that somebody would actually take the time in the background of a scene where people probably aren't going to be paying attention to the props, that they actually took the time to write out a real equation. I mean, some of them, there's actually one that's up there. It's like 1 + 1 = 2. but I mean, that it's still correct.
Yeah.
depending on the Billy Madison style classroom that's going on. But I mean, they have calculus in one shot. They have advanced logic in another. And the person who's running this actually grades them on handwriting, legibility of the content on the board, whether or not they graphed the equations correctly. And then my favorite part about this particular one is that everybody has like a little zinger in the last paragraph. And this one's, finally, the teacher should make sure that her students, to keep her focus on the students and their work. She only has 3 students, so can't complain too much about the pupil-teacher ratio. The teacher is giving all of her attention to the lone male student, allowing 2 female students to talk to each other, thus reinforcing gender stereotypes of women in maths, despite being a female herself. Sadly, this is the kind of attitude that leads to math class of tough talking Barbie, and the low numbers of women choosing to study maths in future in higher education. And further in higher education. So, it's blatantly ignoring the actual context of the shot, and it's just, I love this, I think it's hilarious, and I can't get enough of it. So, I mean, if you happen to peruse those websites, you can send screenshots in to the website over there. I think he actually has a form up there. So I'm going to be checking back, because I think I just can't wait to see some of the other stuff that they have up there. I mean, some of them are really on the edge of, you know, good taste.
You know what, I'll be honest, I'm quite impressed at they're right, because you would think that people would just write any randomized number in there, but there's... I'm impressed.
Yeah, I mean, it's actual trig in one of them. It's actual calculus in another. They're actually graphing equations. I mean, this is not necessarily the kind of thing. And the funny thing is, in some of the comments, people were saying, well, you know, people who are in the porn industry really aren't that smart anyway. And then somebody apparently is part of the industry, and they were commenting under an anonymous name. They said, really? Way to make a generalization. Thank you ever so much. I'm going to take my master's degree and my several $100,000 a year and go home now. So I was like, well, yeah, I'm pretty sure it doesn't really matter what walk of life you're from, but exactly. That's a kind of addition anybody can do.
That's right.
So, all right, we're going to move along to the next one. You're going to take the next little story that we got right here. This one's found from over at Tumblr, by the way.
Oh, you mean this little fella right here?
It's a one-off. We're just talking about what you're seeing on the screen.
What do I see?
What do you see?
Oh, you know what I see. I see what looks like a baby dressed almost like Link.
Yeah, it's a complete knit costume for a little kid.
You know what? I'm impressed with the way it looks.
Yeah.
I especially like the bottle and the holder right there. That's nice.
Do you think Tim would let us put this on his kid?
No, not at all.
So I think we're, as uncles to a soon-to-be... Young little baby Timmy, I think we're going to have to try and find this costume and make this happen.
Oh, we will get it done.
We will. Or something similar. Maybe we should dress him up like Yoda when Tim's not around.
Maybe.
Yeah. Trouble with uncles, have I? That's going to be fun. All right, moving right along. There is a really awesome demo. We're not going to go all into what this does, but every year Photoshop comes out with a new version, whether you need it or not. It's going to be anywhere from $800 to $1,000 for just Photoshop. And the menu bar really hasn't changed all that much, but every once in a while they add what they consider to be a groundbreaking feature. Now, if you have ever taken a good photo and you get jostled at the last minute and it ends up blurry, you'll know the frustration of trying to clean it up yourself, and it's nearly impossible to actually make it look right. Apparently, the new version of Photoshop is going to have one button that's going to analyze your blurry photograph and somehow make it clear. They run a demo that's actually, you know, like a nice blurry camera shot, and you can sort of see it in the actual video that they have there. But it looks interesting, but you got to wonder, is this just demo magic or is this actually a real feature? Because they have another feature called autofill where you can highlight like stuff like trees and stuff like that and click it and it'll like remove power lines and things like that. You're like, oh, wow. You know, it's like it's called intelligent fill or something like that. But I don't know how this is going to work out yet. So I'm kind of interested to see how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're just putting that out there so you can kind of enjoy it if you want to. All right. You want to take the Facebook one?
Yeah, I might as well. I'm still laughing at Norbert putting Lincoln.
Thank you, Norbert Davis. The authorities will be with you shortly.
Yeah.
turnip, the rosebud is in the bush. The rosebud is in the bush.
But the whole Facebook situation that's going on now is we were actually talking about this last weekend. Was the fact that Facebook does actually send some of your personal data to different companies.
And there's apparently a bunch of privacy laws in Europe that exist that you can actually force a company to give you the data that they have on you. So specifically Ireland has it. So one gentleman asked for a report, and they gave him 800 pages of data. I have no clue how often this guy posted. I have no clue what he was putting up there or what was included in the report. But the weird thing was that at the very end of the report, there were two sections. And I'm not going to read them, but there's one thing that you kind of need to listen to. It says, Section 412 of the Acts say that basically, we subject access requests where the disclosures and response were adversely affect trade secrets or intellectual property. We have not provided any information to you which is a trade secret or intellectual property of Facebook Ireland Limited or its licensors. Basically, they're saying that some parts of the personal data of this gentleman, not included in the 800 pages, are considered trade secrets of Facebook. So they own certain parts of his data. They're not telling anybody what it is. He's actually sued them in a court saying that basically this is his personal data and they should be forced to give it up.
Right.
There's a couple different things that people are suspecting might happen. Now, we're not going to talk a lot about the conjecture that's out there, but the one thing that people are suspecting may actually be the case is that they could have been tracking your web habits beyond Facebook even after you're logged out for quite some time now.
Yeah.
So if this gentleman was actually as active as he could be, and then he went to other sites, they could have his browsing history or whatever was gleaned from the Facebook cookies for years. And they don't want to let that know. They don't want to let anybody know because that would be considered a trade secret because that's why they're making all the money. Because they'll be able to target advertisers down to a very specific demographic.
That's a scary thought.
It's an incredibly scary thought. And that's why a lot of people, like I know there's a couple people that we know have considered actually deleting their Facebook accounts completely because they really don't like the way that it's getting all up in their business. So there's a couple different suggestions that I would have for you. One is to use Google Chrome or Firefox.
That works too.
So, hey, Friar Frox. But I have a good joke about friars that we can tell another time. But you could use either one of those, and they have an incognito or a private browser mode that basically runs whatever you're doing, and then as soon as you close it, deletes all cookies, doesn't have any user identifiable information unless you log in other places. So people are actually using the incognito mode and completely cutting out the rest of what Facebook gets. So I'm considering starting to do that. I'm going to, you know, clean out my cookies. I mean, I think I've been using Google Chrome for quite some time, and that's the only browser that I don't delete cookies in.
You better start deleting your cookie jar.
99% of the 99% of the cookies in the world are eaten by 1% of the monsters.
That's nice.
So, yeah, that was floating around Google Plus too.
Yeah, I saw that.
All right, now the next fun little thing that we got for you here. This one's an epic win, and I was going to write a story about it, and I don't really know how to approach it, so we're just going to give the generalized gist. There's a fun little futuristic weapons that we have called the drones that go over and bomb people so that we don't have to waste people to bomb people. They're a very touchy political subject in pretty much all areas of anything. And apparently, they have a computer virus on them right now. And they don't know how it got there, they being the Department of Defense.
Right.
They cannot remove it. And they've tried reinstalling the drones themselves. And it's a keylogger, supposedly. So it's supposed to keep track of what people are doing. And they're still flying the things around.
That's smart.
That sounds like Skynet. That sounds like these things are one step away from linking together and realizing they don't have to listen to nobody anyway. It just doesn't seem like a good anything, but, you know, whatever. I hope that the best and the brightest, you know, they'll actually team up with the military and kind of get it cleaned out. Maybe they should install Linux on it. I don't know. Now, there's also another weird thing that I found out by reading a couple of the different articles. Apparently, when they send the video back, it's unencrypted. So they found laptops in Afghanistan and Iran and a couple other different places. I'm not sure about Iran. I don't want to say that, but you know, turnip. Again, erase that. Scrub. But no, they found a couple different laptops that were actually in terrorist training camps that had hundreds of hours of footage. Because all they have to do is they have to have a $20 spectrum analyzer and
right.
You know, a little USB dongle that you can plug into the side of any old laptop, and you can get the video feeds. Like, hey, you know, this is a pretty weird channel they're showing over here.
Yeah.
Usually it's just Caves and Rocks Are Us, but, you know, Lifestyles of the Rich and Running. But this is... there's only so many things I can say on a clean program. Come on.
That's right.
Yeah, it's... The problem is with seeing the video, it's not necessarily like, okay... This is, you know, you're going to be warning people ahead of time. It's the fact that if they're flying the same routes over and over again, and they're flying over their own troops, so the U.S., let's just say they're flying over and they happen to see a SEAL team that's in the mountains, and so the people are watching the video and going, hey, you know, some guy two villages over bought it, but a lot of interesting stuff a couple ridges back, isn't it? So, I mean, this could potentially be a lot of problems. So who knows? Hopefully the best and the brightest will actually take care of it. We're going to keep an eyeball on that story. We'll give you an update if we find anything out about it. All right. I think this is going to be this is a nice show. This is actually
smooth.
Yeah, this is going good. So let's throw it on its ear a little bit. We're going to move into the food and caffeinated bits section here. Yeah, we're actually going to put our tinfoil hats on next time and really talk some crazy conspiracy theories. You hear the black helicopters? No, you didn't. There's a reason. So. All right. The first little story we got up here, you want to take this one? It's relatively easy.
Yeah.
Or you want me to?
You take it.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Didn't mean to throw you under the bus.
No. Go right ahead.
All
right.
There's a brand of wine out there called Wines That Rock. And they have a whole bunch of different specific beverages. Most of them are actually red wines, except there apparently is one that is a white wine that's dedicated to Woodstock. They have Rolling Stones, they have Pink Floyd, and they have another one that I can't make out right now. And they've recently inducted the Grateful Dead, and it's called Grateful Dead Red, into their, or Steal Your Face Red, I'm sorry, into their pantheon of wines. And I'm really enthused. I'd like to try it. I need to talk to my father. I'm a huge fan of the Grateful Dead. My father is also. And the only thing is they sell them in packs of 3, 6, and 12. We can't get wine shipped here in the wonderful state of Pennsylvania because, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So can't buy 6 packs in the store. Can't do a whole lot in reference to alcohol around these parts.
No.
But, you know, maybe it'll end up in the state store. But the cheapest price you can get for 3 bottles is $49.99. If you break it down, that's not really that bad. It's like a moderately expensive bottle of red wine.
Right.
So it's like $17, $18 bucks or something like that. Or, no, it's probably like... It's like $16.
Yeah, I was thinking
it's like
around 16.
$16. It should be roughly. That's not too bad. I like that. I like red wine, so I'm curious to see. And you know what? I would get it just for the bottle alone, because it has the iconic Steal Your Face logo with the skull with the giant head, and it has the lightning bolt going down with the red and blue. So I thought that was pretty cool. Wanted to pass it along to the group. Next little thing we got for you here.
Chocolate.
You like some chocolate, Steve?
I love chocolate.
I don't have a sweet tooth.
I have a lot of sweet tooth.
Well, you're sweet enough for me.
What can I say? And, yeah, what this basically is, what this is a pop chart of a bunch of candy bars streaming from all over the world. And, yeah, for $25, that's not too bad.
It's 18 by 24, and this is, like, one of the coolest infographics I've ever seen in relation to food. It stems everything out of milk chocolate, and they have dark chocolate, white chocolate, and compound chocolate. I'm not sure what a compound chocolate is. Is it like a chocolate that was like incarcerated for a little while? Is that like state-run chocolate? What?
I guess it's something like a Baby Ruth.
Okay. Well, I mean, yeah, because you're following the dotted line. You're cheating there. See, that's the problem. But, all right, so they have an Old Faithful, which I've never heard of. They have them broken up in terms of filling. So they have pretzels, chocolate fudge filling, maraschino cherries. I hate when people break up words in the middle. Like, you should just break the thing a little bit. It's hard to read. Come on, people. Coconut, almond, cherry, raisin, marshmallow. I hate marshmallow.
I hate marshmallow and candy bars.
So, yeah, it doesn't belong there. Come on, get it out. Get a real candy bar. Get a Snickers.
But when I first saw this, the first thing I thought of was actually had nothing to do with the chocolate. It had to do with the rock, paper, scissors poster.
Yeah, it does look entirely like a little RPS 100 going on there. So I'm going to throw Spock and then throw a little bit of a cockroach? Nuke was like this.
Yeah, Nuke was like this.
Nuke was like you were making the top of a mushroom cloud.
Right.
The cockroach, I don't know why the cockroach was like that. But yeah, there are all kinds of different things. We'll put it in the show notes so that you can actually see the fun thing again. I know we've talked about a problem. So yeah, it's pretty cool. I like that. You know, I'm looking at it and as I was going over everything, I was like, you know, I usually don't have a sweet tooth and I'm starting to get hungry for like a Baby Ruth or something. a chocolate bar that I haven't had in a little while. Even though I'm going to regret it like right afterwards, I always think that it's going to taste a lot better than it does. Like I'll eat it. I'm like, yeah, Snickers. I'm like, Snickers.
Now, what's funny with the Baby Ruth is that Norbert here made a reference to Caddyshack.
Oh God, no, we're not gonna go Baby Ruth with Caddyshack. Now. thank you ever so much. Moving on to the next thing. A lot of people sent me this one, and I cannot remember who's the first person, so I'm incredibly sorry. But there's an awesome video over at funnierdie.com called Coffee Snobs. I am a coffee snob. But not nearly as bad as these two girls. They're going on, and they have everything. I mean, it as any truly great piece of comedy does. It starts off with a believable premise where it's a snobbish, hipsterish coffee bar that's kind of going on, and it ends up with something incredibly disgusting and distasteful called Bat Guano Coffee, which doesn't actually exist. But yeah, they actually put a bean in their mouth just to taste the essence of the bat, and yeah, so. As somebody who has had Kopi Luwak coffee, I feel their pain, but I don't think I'd be having Bat Guano coffee.
No.
Yeah, it's, especially when you consider how they describe it in the video. The funny thing is that there's actually a couple places in real life, like for instance, there's a coffee bar called Onyx that only has black coffee, and they only serve black coffee. And there's two really funny lines in here. The one is the person asks for milk in their coffee. Or no, ask for a caramel macchiato, and the one girl behind the counter goes, doesn't exist. And then another girl gives her a lecture on exactly what a macchiato is. I've actually done that to people, and I apologize for giving people a lecture on what a mocha is as opposed to what you're actually drinking, which is a chocolate slurry of junk. And, yeah, we're just going to put that out there. As a small aside, I'm part of a couple different groups over on LinkedIn right now. And one of them is a coffee professionals group. And while I'm not a professional in coffee, I think I have drank enough of it to actually qualify. But there's a discussion going on about the wonderful benefits of quote-unquote healthy coffee. And that there's a lot of people spamming the group with oregano gold or whatever the heck it's called. And they're saying, you don't understand the benefits of antioxidants. You don't understand how healthy this coffee is. We've gone on record before saying this stuff is junk. Please do not buy into their hype at all. It is powdered coffee. Some of it actually includes powdered mushrooms mixed in with the powdered coffee to provide filler. And it is disgusting. End of discussion.
Done.
Yep. I've had Kopi Luwak coffee. I've had coffee that's come out of a cat's rear end, and I think that tastes better than anything they could. They're marketing. Yeah, I went there.
Now, on a side note, yeah. Again, Norbert was asking if that was the one where people spit chewed coffee beans and then brew that.
No, that's a different video entirely. But thank you very much, Norbert. There's also another awesome thing over there on DearCoffeeILoveYou.com. Awesome URL and wonderful site in general. But it's a ninja robot barista making a pour-over coffee. I've seen pour-overs. They're very interesting and they taste fantastic. The process that goes into it is really interesting, and the funny thing is that in this little stop motion video that actually is playing, the robot does it correctly. It pours and then it pauses. It pours and then it pauses, and then it actually makes you this absolute. I mean, this is a tiny cup of coffee that I'm actually using on today's show. It's like around 2/3 the size of a real cup.
Yeah,
but it's from my Boy Scout troop, Troop 252. So I like it, and But like the one that they're actually using is like a thimble full of coffee that they're actually making, so it looked pretty cool. And they're actually like they have miniature, like there's a miniature coffee pot that they're actually using in.
I see it.
It's pretty cool. I mean, look at that.
I see it.
All right, next little thing we have for you here. This is from Michael Allen Smith from over at ineedcoffee.com. This blew my mind. It's rather than using a developer agent in film developing, you can actually use instant coffee. I did not think this was possible. I'm pretty sure I've seen something like this, but I actually thought it actually tinted the film that would turn out brown, and apparently it doesn't. It you mix instant coffee in where you'd actually mix through the developing agent when you're actually going to create the negatives, and it actually creates a solution that will develop and gives you a fine grain on the film. These are pictures that are actually at the bottom of the website that actually are developed from negatives that were developed in coffee.
Sepia.
No, it doesn't. It does. Yeah. That, thank you for the correct term for that Photoshop filter. But no, it's not a sepia look. Sepia. No, I'm just messing around. All right. No, it's actually, it's a fairly good quality black and white print. I mean, these look normal. I don't know where anything's getting. So all right, and then the last little weird story that we got here today is a giant genetically engineered salmon that exists solely to be eaten. Did you read up on this one?
Very lately I did.
It's pretty freaky.
Yeah,
we're both fishermen.
Yes,
we've both caught some strange things. Like, were you there when I caught the eel and it flopped around then it flew back in? I was like, you know what, I don't even care.
No, I might have been.
Okay.
I know the first fish I caught was a catfish, which was very odd where we were.
Yeah, they shouldn't ought have been there. And, yeah, they were, and it was about 2 pounds,
yeah,
in a very small stream. So I don't know where he was from, but here's the long and the short of what this salmon's supposed to be. So salmon live a couple years, and they eventually stop growing. The genetically engineered salmon, which they're actually calling, it's been submitted to the FDA approved. Oh, yeah, it's getting ready to approve, so it's actually on its way. Rather than the Atlantic salmon, it's actually called the Aqua Advantage Atlantic Salmon by Aqua Bounty Technologies. So it's a patented fish, which freaks me out to no end anyway. The idea that you can patent a fish is pretty freaky at all.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. It doesn't stop growing. It eats a ton of food. And they said at roughly the same age as a mature salmon could be, this salmon could be 13 times larger.
Wow.
They're saying that it is 98% sterile, but so were the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park. Yeah, I don't want them to actually make these things. It really, really looks like a bad idea. And despite the fact that they're actually going to have, you know, it's obviously never going to be introduced to the natural environment, but we know some goofball is going to try and do it, and then we're going to end up with like a blue whale sized salmon that's 25 years old and eating people on the beaches of California. So all right, that about wraps it up here today. This is the Caffeination episode 505, and whatever episodic content we didn't fit into the last show, I think we crammed into a 45 minute episode here today.
Yeah.
So I think this is a pretty good show. I think we had fun doing it.
We did.
So, all right. Thank you ever so much for listening. This has been Caffeination 505. You can find everything over at www.caffeination.com. If you're looking for anything else, you can always send comments and feedbacks and suggestions to either Paul at caffeination.com.
Or Steve at caffeination.com.
Thanks for playing. All right. Thank you ever so much, everybody, and good night. Stay caffeinated, people.
Thank you.